Well, happy New Year's Eve. God bless you all and give you a great year in 2020 in our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, since we're already thinking about time, I thought we could talk about time, see what God has to tell us about time for our wisdom and that we might live joyfully and powerfully in time. You know, a lot of people don't consider time, don't take the time to think about time. Some people are out tonight just saying, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, giving no thought at all for the days of the years or for the history of the world and where they fit into it. So let's take a look at time, just see for a few moments here. I'll take a little time to look at time and see what God would teach us about it in His Word so that you and I can live with wisdom, live with joy and with power in the upcoming year. So, what does God tell us about time? First of all, it's a gift. God created it in the first place. Surely God is not time-bound, is He? He is eternal. Moses says this of God in Psalm 90. He says, verse 2, 1,000 years are in thy sight. Are but as yesterday when it is past. I'm looking at this verse. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So when we think of things having a beginning and an end, God has no beginning and an end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is outside of time. But He created time for us as a gift to live inside of it. And God set up the world to have a timeline. We begin in the very first words of the Bible. We hear time being created, basically. For we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there's a beginning to the timeline. And we know, of course, there's an end to the timeline. Way over here in 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it shall be burned up. In other words, the end of the world. So we're in the middle of between the beginning and the end. God created time, and once the end comes, there is the beginning of eternity, where we don't have to worry about time anymore. 10,000 years in His sight are the same. It'll be on forever. So God also gave us a way to measure time in the Bible. If you look at that, He's very concerned that we understand time rightly. We read the first day, God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw it. The light was good, separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Does God measure that for us? He tells us how to measure time. Yeah, we got an evening and a morning. So all of the nighttime and then the morning all the way till the next evening. That's a whole day. We measure days the same way now. Although we usually go from morning to morning, the Hebrews went from evening to the next evening. That's a day. Then we have more things God gave for us for measuring and understanding time, because on day two, He created the expanse, the vault over us, the firmament in which He sets later on the celestial bodies. And then on day three, we have the sea being separated and the dry land appearing. And then watch this. This is really cool. On day four, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So what has God set up over our heads in the vault of the heavens? A clock. It's a huge clock. It's for days and for signs for days and seasons and years. And it's been ticking over our heads ever since God set it up. The sun tracks across the sky. The moon tracks across the sky. The stars are changing. So when I'm sailing at night, right, Dick, out on the sea, and I'm sailing by a star, putting it on my mast, I can't follow that star forever, unless it's the North Star, because it's ticking across the heavens. And every half an hour, it's in a different position because it's a clock. You're underneath a huge clock. That's what it is, the stars. And all the things in the heavenly places, there, it's a huge clock. God set these things up, and we measure our seasons. We measure a month by it. We measure a year by these celestial bodies. It's a huge clock over you. Isn't that amazing? God wants you to understand time. He not only created it and gave you it as a gift to live in, but know how to measure it. Know the times. He wants you to understand time. Thirdly, he gives it to us as a very secure gift when God gives us time. Remember in the days of Noah after the flood, God says to Noah, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So there's a beginning and there's an end and there's no bumps in the road in the middle of the time. There's going to be a steady ticking of that clock all the way until it hits the alarm bell on the last day. Christ comes back, and then we're going to put away time as we know it and enter into a new phase of time called forever. So God's given us those things, and he wants us to know next where we are in time, how we fit into time. When did God create man, by the way? Does he tell us very specifically? On the sixth day, he wants you to know you were created. Adam and Eve were. And then God records time afterwards, so we're not living in the middle of, I have no idea what time it is. Ever since Adam and Eve, he also tells us very specifically the years. He counts them off for us. For this is the book of the generations of Adam, Genesis 5 says. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, etc. And it says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness after his image, and he named him Seth. So there's 130. The days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years. Boy, this guy was old. You think you're old? You're just pups. Well, of course, I think the earth was easier to live in those days. That's why. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And when Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh, etc. God is recording for us years from Adam all the way down. So add 6 days to Adam, and you got the age of the earth and the universe and all these things. And God wants you to understand where you fit into history. So how old is the earth and the universe? About around 6,000 plus years old, says the Bible. You count it off. There's a little room for error there based on, you know, when Adam had his son Seth, was he at the beginning of his year or the end of that year that he was in? So there's maybe plus or minus 1 year with each person. But we get to about, according to one guy I looked up today, 6,119 solar years since creation. You know where you are in history. Why is that important for you to know time in order to know your location? Dick, you ought to know this. You're a Navy guy. If you're at sea, you can't find out your longitude without exact a timepiece. Do you know that it wasn't until 1735 that man could navigate at sea accurately and know just where they were? Before that, you could travel your longitude and go across the ocean in a particular direction and maybe hit Jamestown, but you had no idea where you were in that long line heading to Jamestown because you couldn't develop your longitude. Why? Because you didn't have time. You had to have an accurate sense of time to know where you were. So the British Crown said £1,000,000 for anybody who can come up with a timepiece to be used at sea and determine time so that we know where we are. And it took John Harrison most of his life. He made these bigger and bigger clocks, developed ball bearings. Eventually, he took a break. He couldn't figure it out. He went to make watches. And when he was making watches, he said, that was my problem all along. I need to go smaller, not bigger. And he created a little timepiece, a watch, the marine chronometer, accurate to within a few seconds at sea. And all of a sudden, Britain is supreme on the seas because they alone know where they are and everybody else is lost. You know where you are because of this book. It tells you where you are in history. And where are you in history? You are at the very end, basically. There's 6,000 years. That means it's 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years Abraham to Christ, 2,000 years Christ to you. That is super symmetrical. When God created the earth, how many days did it take? 6 days. Peter says, quoting the Old Testament, one day is as 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is one day. So Roger, how many days of the earth has there been in 6,000 years if you're going by God's way of counting things? 6 days, basically. 1,000 years is as a day. There's 6,000 years. It's been basically to God just 6 days. What happened on the seventh day? He rested, and there was a Sabbath rest. And we're promised in the Bible a Sabbath rest for the people of God that lasts into forever on the seventh day. We've already finished 6 days, friends. We're pretty close. We're pretty close, and we don't even need to know that. We need to know, just look at the scriptures. Jesus tells us that there are signs to look for which are being fulfilled. We know we're in the last days. And so we know where we are in the chart. Do you know why that's important? If you're sailing across the sea from England to America on the Mayflower and you don't know where on earth you are in longitude, you're going to run up on the shore in the middle of the night and you won't even know it. You'll be a disaster. You're going down to the sea. You're going to die because you don't know where you are. But if you know where you are, you're going to be in good shape and ready for Provincetown, Cape Cod when it comes up over the horizon. You guys know where you are. The big difference between you Christians and non-Christians is you understand time and the world has not a clue. What's the world say about time? 6,000 years, you guys are nuts. The universe is 20 billion years old. And they would say, we know that nothing exploded and created everything by an accident. That's really interesting. What a wonderful, fine philosophy they've come up with. Nothing exploded and created everything by chance. And then life came into existence, they say, because basically, as if you watch the TV shows for the kids, a bolt of lightning passes through the atmosphere of nothing of the earth and puts together all these protons to form a single cell. And that single cell knew how to find food. And he also knew how to find a mate, which didn't exist, and reproduce itself. And eventually you get apes coming down out of trees, crawling down and becoming a man after having previously been a slug in a pond. And eventually learn to walk upright and such things. They don't get a clue where they are. 20 billion years, 4 million years for man, 4.6 billion years old is the earth. That's not what this chart says. They are clueless. They are crossing the sea, heading for a reef. They have no idea where they are. But you do. That's the big difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. We understand time. They don't have a clue where they are. But we know that we're getting very, very near the shore. God wants us to understand our time very well. If we're in the Mayflower sailing from England to America, I'm smelling pine trees in the breeze that's coming over the deck. I'm seeing some twigs in the water. I'm beginning to see seagulls flying next to me. I have not seen the land yet, but oh, the signs are there. And I know according to my chart and my timepiece, I haven't got long to go, which means I'm going to stay and watch. I'm going to be on that deck. I'm going to keep alert. I'm going to have my eyes trained on that horizon so that when that land appears, I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it? Do you know where you are in time? Let's use our time wisely. We also know not only the history of the world, but our own days. You know, a lot of people are out, just as it says here in Isaiah 56, tonight. Come, they say, let's get wine. Let's fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure. They don't consider the days of their years. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, they say. They don't understand that their lives, too, are short. We know that. We know that we're a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. And we number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom. And we look carefully how we walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So, how should we, I'll come over here, how should we walk through 2019? You want to hear? I can find it for you in one verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he's commanded us. That's really all God's after. If you do that, you're going to walk wisely. What's that mean? Walk in a relationship. Let this next year be about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God. Walk with me, God says, through this year, you'll be using your time wisely. And love one another. Be focused on relationships with each other. Well, the world's not focused on relationships so much. They're after building bigger barns and accumulating goods and living after the things of the world. And we can have some of those, but we're after people. God says, if you want to use your time wisely, give it away. Give it to other people. I was helping out a guy this last 2 weeks or so from another state far away. And I wrote him and shared with him some private information because I thought it would be helpful for him, to encourage him. He thanked me for that. But you know what was the funny thing on the phone call? He said the thing that really touched him was that I took the time to write this. That you'd take that time for me. Spend all that time to write this long email to me. That's what really counts in life, isn't it? You guys gave us a gift certificate to go out to eat, and someone else did as well. We went out last night, Beth and I did, spent time with each other. That was really special. That's a great way to spend our time, to spend our time helping those who are in need. And I think of one night when Naomi was coughing when she was like 14 years old, very sick one night. I woke up at like 2 in the morning, and I heard her coughing across the house. And I went over there, and I just started rubbing her back. She said, I know you're tired, Dad. You can go back to bed right now. And I thought, no, Naomi, I'll stay here. I'll rub your back until you're at peace. Fall asleep. And I just kept rubbing her back. Stayed there like a whole hour. Prayed for her. Just gently rubbed her. The next morning, was she thankful for the back rub? Yes. But you know what she was really thankful for? Spend time. You spend a whole hour when you wanted to go to sleep, but you stayed there with me. That's what God wants for this next year. If you do that, you're going to use your time wisely. Because it's all about relationships. Believe on me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend your time with the Lord. Come away with me to a lonely place. Rest a while. Come to my sanctuary. Grow in our relationship. And then at the same time, spend your time with each other. The best way to use your time, God says, is to give it away. That's more important than giving people money or accumulating things. Giving them the richness of your time. And that will be time well spent. And God has given us not only the gift of time, but he's also given us his own time. He's come in the fullness of time, says the Bible. In Galatians, it says, when the fullness of time came, he sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And God did that so that in the future, he has a future for us and a hope. Where he says there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That ship is crossing the sea, the Mayflower bobbing up and down, and pretty soon we're going to see that horizon come up with land. It's going to be the Lord's kingdom, and we're going to enjoy that kingdom forever. So the point this day is, if you want to use your 2020 wisely, use it after relationships with God, and with each other, and it's going to be time well spent. In Jesus' name, amen.